sounds like a shark's coming.
Well, that's the scariest bit of music I've ever heard. I'm not terrified, are you?
Nah.
We are going to do a scary, spooky phone-in. Okay, I know it's 2 weeks till Halloween, and I'm another crack at it in 2 weeks' time. But we've got some stories to tell, and I have special guests in the studio. We have Dame Shirley. We also have Princess Prickles. And we also have Uncle Arthur. Who wants to go first with their spooky cold story?
Perhaps I should mention the most recent one. I had a dream the other night, Ian.
Ooh.
I'd been to the hospital to have my face checked, and they found it was still there. And I was asleep, and I was dreaming that I was being pursued through the hospital by somebody with a large needle, wanted to take my blood, and I wasn't letting them have it because I'm a bit needle phobic. So I fought my way out of it. I got out of it, finished, that was the end of it. They didn't get me, right? I got up in the morning, had my breakfast, went to wash my face. I looked inside my elbow, and what did I have, Shirley?
You had a big bruise.
And
a big bruise?
A big bruise?
A big bruise.
And a little hole.
And a puncture mark.
And a puncture mark.
In the recess of my elbow, where you would have had a blood test taken.
Yeah.
Crikey.
Have you got a cat?
No. Well, do cats do blood injections and things like that?
I thought it might have scratched you or something.
No?
But Arthur, you've had other spooky things in your house, haven't you?
Yeah, you've been in there.
Yep.
And Mick. My wife's even been in there as well.
We have... There's areas of my place where I don't like going. The bottom of my garden, behind my shed, is a very, very horrible place to be. I don't go there unless I have a bonfire. I always think there's somebody watching me when I stand down there. And the funny thing is, little Zach, the grandson, he doesn't like going. If the ball goes down, then he won't go and collect it. He said it's weird. It still feels like somebody watching you, you know. And I get this terrible feeling when somebody's watching me. I've almost got the feeling at the moment that there's somebody standing looking over my shoulder, believe it or not. Yeah, I knew you'd look. But I don't believe in ghosts, right? I don't believe in ghosts, but I do think that they are malevolent spirits. And a couple of years ago, a very, very good friend, very dear friend of mine, died. And he was quite helpful with me and my collection of stuff. Just after he died, the keys to my museum disappeared, which were a big bunch of keys with a postbox on the fob. Couldn't find them anywhere. We looked high and low. And a couple of months afterwards, there was a seat in my garden where I got my flagpole, where my mate John used to sit and have a cigarette. We'd cut the grass at least two or three times since the keys went missing. I went out there one morning, and sitting on the grass is my bunch of keys.
Spooky.
Yeah, very spooky.
Spooky, yeah.
It's got to the point now where if something goes missing at home, I say, John, pack it up, put them back.
There should have been a crack of lightning then, shouldn't there?
I was sat in Arthur's garden one day in the summer, and I saw somebody walk by, and I said, there's someone just gone into your house, Arthur. Went down, there was nobody there.
Nobody there?
But I honestly saw a person walk by the window.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Can we just go back to the needle? What did you think it was?
Well,
when you wake up, because you think
I actually went and did some work later that day for a lady who is a doctor, and I said to her, if I show you something, will you tell me what you think of it?
Poor lady. He's a lady doctor.
Yes. And she said, oh, you've had a blood test. I said, exactly, but I haven't had a blood test.
Wow, that is really weird.
And the thing is, right, I'm quite a brash sort of person, as everybody knows, but there's one thing I cannot stand, and if you wanted to get a confession out of me, all you've got to do is touch the inside of my arms or the inside of my wrists, because they are so sensitive, I can't bear to be touched there.
And having, leave him alone.
And having a blood test is possibly the worst thing. I think I'd rather have a tooth pulled out without anaesthetic than have a blood test. because it means they've got to touch the inside of my arms.
What happened to you last time you had a blood test, Arthur?
I nearly passed out.
Yeah, I know you did, yes.
They only got two lots of whatever it was they wanted to take. They couldn't. The third one could have been a problem.
Wow. That's really spooky. That needle thing, that would have... Because yeah. You've got to, when you wake up and you've got a hole in your arm,
yeah.
And you don't know how it got there.
No.
That's just really...
But it's not just the puncture. It was the bruising around. It was completely as you expect. And I even had a stiff arm for a day, like I'd been for a blood test.
Do you trust your wife?
Well, she didn't have a blood test.
No, but she may have done something to you in the night.
Hidden needles.
Well, I actually said to her, have we lost an hour somewhere or something? Have I been abducted by a few aliens or something? Taken away and had my blood checked? Oh, hello. Something like that.
But you've also had things being moved around in your house, haven't you?
Our stuff is always being moved around in my house.
Do you mind if we take a call and we come back to your stuff moving around the house?
Yeah, okay.
Why does he live there?
Well, oh, he's gone. I had a word. I had a word with him.
Why does
he live there, Arthur?
On the Isle of Wight. Local. But it's not just here, you see. As kids, there was five of us, a maiden aunt, mum and dad, and a dog. And we lived in a great big old house, you see, which was my granddad's house. And it was all old-fashioned. Lino, doors with a big brass knob on and a spring on the back. You open the door, go twang, yeah? And the kitchen was a giant room, almost the size of your outer studio here. So when it was cold in the winter, we used to pile in the kitchen. We're sitting in the kitchen watching the telly one night with a dog. Brother's in the back room, and we're all sitting there, and the bathroom door above our head went clonk. Somebody walked across the landing on the lino, bonk, 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 up to the small bedroom, which was my bedroom, rattled the brass handle on the door, opened the door, the spring went twang, they shut the door. We all looked around at each other. I thought, hang on a minute, we're all here. Looked out the door, my brother's come out the back room. Who's upstairs? Don't know. So my dad sent my mum up to have a look. We all stood at the bottom of the stairs. Even the dog wouldn't go up. There was nobody up there. But we all heard it.
That's a bit like mine. Spooky.
But you see, when we cleared the house out, we just about emptied the house right out, and all of us were standing upstairs on the landing. Brothers and sisters and brother-in-laws and stuff like that. My wife was there, and we piled a load of stuff on a chair, and we were standing there talking about the house, and my van was sitting outside, and the alarm went off on my van. It never ever goes off on my van. The alarm went off on my van. As I said, bloody someone's up my van, my granddad's picture fell over, knocked everything off the chairs, all over the floor. And there was all about eight or nine of us trying to get down the stairs to get out. We reckon that someone broke into the house when they had a squatter in there, and they tidied it up. That's how bad it was. But somebody broke in the house one night and left all their stuff behind. And we reckon it frightened the what's it out of them for spending a night in that house.
Crikey.
Yeah. I tell you what, I wouldn't go back to that house and spend I wouldn't spend an hour in that house unless I had to. I moved out when I was about 21.
Do you know what? I find that amazing because, you don't seem the sort of bloke that'd be scared much.
Not at all. I always look under the bed, though, before I go to sleep just in case there's someone hiding there.
Yeah, I'm going from now on. All right.
No, I'm not worried about the dark.
No.
I'm not worried about that. I mean, but there's things that we can't explain. For whatever reason, there's things that we can't explain. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't think there's a little thing hanging around with a sheet over its head that's going, ooh, like that. But something is unexplained, and whatever it is, I don't know. I mean, most houses have had someone die in them, so I suppose if someone's lived in a house for 20-odd years or more, there's going to be some sort of spirit of the person in the house, and they might not like what you're doing to that house, and they might be registering their displeasure.
Yeah.
You see?
Who wants to go next? By the way, if you want to call, you can, 240666. Got a lot of stuff to get through between now and 1 o'clock. We've even got one of your poems as well.
Would you like me to help you there, Shirley?
No, I'm just getting over to the mic.
Oh, I thought you was putting your hand on that leg there.
I can't see Mike. Where's Mike?
It's only Alison.
Should we take a call before we come to you,
yeah,
then, Shirley?
Definitely.
All right, let's see who's... is there anyone there?
Indeed. It's Kim. It's I, Leclerc.
Oh, we didn't know. We didn't
anglais.
Know it was you.
Le petit anglais.
I've had an experience this very morning.
What was you out on the drink last night? Was it?
No, not on that at all. But this thing happened this morning, and there's another incident I'll tell you about that happened 25 years ago that I still remember like it was yesterday. This morning, I get up very early and I go for a walk. I walk the dog, even though the dog's gone to doggy heaven a couple of years ago. I like to keep the old sort of the heart and lungs working properly.
So you walk still, the lead, Pete.
Exactly, yes. So I still go for a brisk walk from my house in Nettleston down to Seagrove Bay. And this morning, I'd say it was 90% dark still, so just a glimmer of light in the sky. And I'm walking across the field at the back of my house, and I start down a road called Ferny Close Road, which is at the back end of Nettleston. And I swear somebody was walking towards me along that road in the 90% dark, to the point that I stepped aside to let them go by, and there was nobody there. It was very strange, that, but is it imagination or what? Or is there something, you know, sort of some long-departed spirit? What's going on? But the thing that happened 25 years ago, and which did shake me up at the time, and I still sort of, when I think about it, it sends a bit of a cold shiver down my spine. Before I lived on the Isle of Wight, I lived in Suffolk, near Ipswich. And I used to do a round every Monday to go and pick up and deliver work from all the companies I'd dealt with. So that was in the Ipswich, Colchester, Sudbury, Bury St Edmunds area. And I used to drive through this village called Hintlesham, which is, there's a famous restaurant there called Hintlesham Hall. It's a very, very sort of lovely, big manor house that these days is quite a famous restaurant. Anyway, this village of Hintlesham, I'm driving through there. It's in the summertime, it's the middle of the afternoon on a Monday, the light conditions and everything were absolutely perfect, just a normal summer's day, nobody about. I'm driving through the village and all of a sudden this tall man bursts out of his garden gate and walks straight in front of me. And I braked hard, I thought I'd hit him, but there was no bang. I stopped, I looked around, there was nobody to be seen. But I can still see that man's face really clearly. An old boy of about sort of 70, quite tall, exceptionally tall really. I'd say he was about 6'1", 6'2", something like that, dressed like an old countryman. And he was, you know, I can still see his face. But that was all them years ago, and it's been with me ever since.
You're not a million miles there from the most haunted place in the country, which is Borley Rectory.
Yeah.
That is it's the most dog. Haunted place in the country, that is.
Apparently. Perhaps he's one of the escapees.
Well, you know, I mean, who knows, Pete? Who knows? It's just one of them unexplained things. But you can't go to the likes of Psychic Sally to get an answer, because that's just a stage show.
Yeah.
And that's totally meaningless, unless, of course, you want to go and see the Usherette.
Now, if he'd been real, he would have been dead, because I would have hit him.
Yeah.
But there was nobody there.
Yeah, that's you can't explain that. I mean,
no.
We were sitting up outside my house in the garden there, and my wife's brother-in-law said, "I'm just going to go and speak to Arthur." And he said, "Oh, he's locked the door, you see." My wife said, "Oh no, he's not in there, Bob." And he said, "Yes, he is. I can see him standing there." And she said, "No, he's not. He's down in the house at the toilet." And I was in the house, and he swore I was standing inside my museum.
Yeah,
could see me standing there. Yeah.
You have got a real haunting problem in that place, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, it puts the willies up me occasionally.
Have you ever wonder why it was so cheap to buy?
It's all the sitting tenants that came in.
Well, there's quite a few people in this room at the moment, Pete, but they're not all alive.
No. Name names?
I don't know. I think some people have this, I don't like to call it the term a sixth sense, but it's another sense perhaps that you don't understand, and it makes you feel uneasy about certain situations. And it doesn't have to be somewhere that's dark and cold. It could be a nice warm sunny day. But I can go into some houses and I'll say, do you know what, I like this house, it's got a lovely feel to it. Macca's house is not great. One or two things don't feel particularly brilliant in there.
The wife was out at the time as well.
My wife's house, the upper floors of that are not great. The house where I live is not great. My previous house was absolutely superb. It was nothing odd or wrong with that one at all. But the family home was just a horrible place. I didn't even like going home there to visit my mum, because it was always too spooky in that place. There was always too many memories and too many things that just didn't feel right. And I think that's what it all comes down to. It's what you feel. And if something doesn't feel right, you want to look for something sensible to explain it. Maybe we don't know enough to be able to explain that.
Just backtrack, Scooby-Doo, because I've got to go home later and I live there. So what are you saying?
Well, when I'm in your house, not so much the front room, but the back room, it feels like there's somebody watching every move I make. Maybe it's Shirley's got a peephole in the wall. But it's like somebody watching you. It's that feeling that you get, that somebody's watching what you're doing.
That's weird, isn't it? That we all get that, don't we? We know when somebody's watching us.
Yeah.
You get this feeling, even though they might be behind you and you can't possibly see them.
Well, sometimes
all of a sudden you get this real sort of feeling that somebody's giving you the eyeball.
You can even be driving along and you think, God, is someone watching me there? Or someone's gone by, and then why are they watching me? And you think, well, hang on a minute, there's nobody going by. Mm. It's a feeling, just a feeling you get.
We must all have a sixth sense to a certain extent, mustn't we?
Do you think some people are more susceptible to it than others?
Probably. I guess so, yeah. I think women are more open to it, really.
I think women's is more intuition, though, isn't it, in general everyday things?
Yeah.
But, you know, stories Arthur's got...
Yeah, but women are always suspicious, swear, though, aren't they?
My mother used to swear that our house was haunted by a black dog. And every now and again, she said, oh, that bloody dog's on the top of the stairs again. And she'd come and have a look. No, I can't see nothing, Mother. But she swore there was a black dog in the house.
And that
went on for years and years and years.
I don't know. I mean, I've never had a feeling of being watched. Well, having said that, I mean, maybe the sixth sense or seventh sense or 27th sense, whatever it is, maybe it is an animal that's watching you and you're just detecting it.
Maybe.
It might be a rat watching you.
Or
one of Shirley's spiders.
Or it could be a blue bottle fly just waiting for you to put your sandwich down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching you with its 200 eyes. Anyway, I'll let you go on. You have a nice day.
Thanks for being there.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Now. Bye. It's 12:26. I'm a little bit worried because I've got to go home, and I'm now thinking the back room. There's something going on in the back room now, which reminds me of something. I don't really believe in the stuff that we're kind of talking about. But having said that, one Saturday night, and this is a true story. One Saturday night, we're sat on the sofa. I always sit on the left. The wife always sits on the right. And about 3 feet away is my wife's cat's ashes. Don't ask me why. She's got a little box of Doug's ashes, okay? And he'd been gone like a couple of months. And I was having a bit of a laugh and a joke with my wife. I started calling her lamb chop, okay? And then I called her pork chop. And then I made the mistake of calling her porky. And something touched my arm. And I swear to God, it was that coming out of
the box. Yeah.
It was Doug's. It was a claw type thing that just once, didn't say anything. And I'll tell you what, I've never called her porky since.
Not, but she's grateful.
Yeah. Anyway, have you got a story to tell, Dame Shirley?
Yeah, do you want mine?
Yeah, let's have yours now.
Right,
then.
This is going back quite a few years. We went to stay.
Sorry.
Came over her.
We went to stay with some friends, and they were renting this property, quite a big house. We put the children to bed at night, and the four of us were playing cards. And the door coming into the room the living room was made of glass, and we all turned round because we thought somebody was outside the door. We all saw somebody there. So a couple of us got up to go and see if it's one of the children. No, nobody there. So we came back down again. We sat there playing cards and we heard an almighty thump. And two of us ran upstairs, thought one of the children had fallen out of bed. No, they were all fast asleep. And all these sorts of things were happening in the night time, and my Mick was so scared. But they told us the day after that very often Pete, when he's shaving in there, somebody's watching him and he turns around and talks to this girl, and it's very, very spooky.
Ah.
And Mick wouldn't go back to that house again.
Really?
But in the house, it was a rented property, there was one room that was locked that they couldn't go into, and it was right next door to a cemetery, so it was all a bit spooky, you know.
Crikey, there is a cemetery just about 200 feet away from us.
Ooh, so that was a bit spooky.
It was.
Yes.
Is there anyone there?
Hello, Ian. It's David Baker.
Oh,
how are you?
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. You okay, guys?
Yeah, we're fine, thank you.
I'm all right as well, thanks, Dave, babes.
Good to hear.
I know you messaged me last night and you said you got a story to tell.
Yeah, it actually happened last week, actually.
Crikey.
We lost, I lost my mother-in-law back in February. And, my father-in-law was in the garden and his mobile phone went. And, he looked at his phone and it was my mother-in-law's number came up on his phone. So she died back in February. And, so we went back in. He said, well, he looked at it, well, oh my God, you know, what's happening here? Went back into the drawer where the phone hasn't been touched for, well, obviously way before February anyway. It was out of charge. He charged the phone up, got into the phone, looked at the call log, and the call log actually said that that call was actually made from that phone. How do you explain that?
No,
I'm sure somebody clever would probably come up with something classic about phones and technology and that, but nah, she's phoning you up. She's checking up on you.
Hey?
She's watching you.
I'll be honest with you. She absolutely just... It freaked him out, to be fair.
Yeah. I'll bet.
Yeah. Someone doing a PPI court claim, wasn't it?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and actually my wife, this is really weird, probably about 3 days after that, my wife had just put a phone on charge, went to bed, and the phone started ringing, no number, nothing like that, it, like the home screen on your phone, that was there, but the phone was ringing.
Ooh.
Really weird.
Ooh.
Okay. So, I still can't escape the mother-in-law.
Spooky technology.
Dave, have you had any other like experiences? Is that the first one?
Well, I'll tell you where. I went to Appledurcombe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we went, this is probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was told, you know, I must admit, you're talking to the biggest sceptic here, but I sort of... there's like a curator on the night, and the guy said, just take as many photos as you can, as you know, Ian. I do like my photography.
You do, and you're blooming good at it too.
Yeah, so I took loads of photos, and I took this photo, and I looked at it, and there was like, it's never happened to me before. I've taken loads of photos in dark sort of situations, and I sent it off to somebody to have a look at it. I think it was, I don't know if you've heard a lady on the island called Gay Baldwin.
Yeah, she's written loads of books, hasn't she?
Yeah. So I messaged Gay and sent the photo over, and I said, "What do you make of this?" And it was, she said that it's probably quite a good example of orbs. But that was quite spooky, to be fair. And I looked, you know, I mean, I've looked at it and zoomed in, and she said it was. So you naturally think, oh, there's, you know, sort of like light reflection on the photo, but she said definitely it was, you know, what a good example of an orb. But that's really, they're the only two major thing that's happened to me.
What is an orb? Are they circular things? That I've seen some in photos, because where I used to work, there was a guy up there, Meridian Barry. And Meridian Barry went to film someone in Cowes, and he said that he could see the orbs while he was there, and he couldn't wait to get out of the place, and he couldn't wait to get to the studio at the time, because he wanted to see whether they came out on camera, and they did.
Yeah, absolutely. As you just said there, it's sort of like mine was like, I don't know, it was like a sort of like a moon, really, but it's quite sort of bright in the middle. It's quite distinct. But then that they say sort of the first signs of a ghost manifestation or something like that. I don't know, but really, really weird, to be fair.
Do you know it's gone really cold in here?
But I think the telephone experience was a strange one.
I tell you something. A few years ago, I was in something called the British Eccentrics Awards ceremony, and I was presented with an award by Normal Wisdom, which in itself was a laugh. But while I was up having an award presented, there was a gentleman there who was the partner of a lady in North Devon who collects garden gnomes. To go and see the gnomes, you have to dress up as a gnome, believe it or not. And he came over and he said to my wife, he said, "I can't help noticing that you've got an aura around you." And she said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you and me are linked together. You will always end up being together, one way or the other, because there's an aura around you." Now, I don't know what that means, but he could see something that in his eyes meant that, cause he wasn't interested in all the other, he just come up and sat next to her and started talking to her. So, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever had experiences where, I'm sure we have, because I've been speaking to a few people about it, where you've been to a town or somewhere and you think, you know what, I've been here before.
Mm. Yeah, and
definitely.
And you know you haven't.
Yeah. But you can feel it really strongly, can't you? Yeah. You know the layout, everything.
Yeah.
It's really weird, you know. So, I don't know, I mean, so I've had a few experiences like that, but I think for me, the telephone one where you actually see it on the call log, and I'll be honest with you, as a sceptic, I was sort of like, yeah, that's rubbish, you know, but I actually did check the phone, and it was a call made from that phone.
Well, we had a weird one coming home down the M3 one day. It was coming down the M3, and we turned off to go into Southampton. And as we pulled off, a car overtook us on the other lane, and it was I think it was a Mini or something like that. But it was a slate grey colour. It wasn't shiny. It was matte. And it was driven by a bloke with glasses and a girl sitting in the passenger seat. And as we came up to the roundabout at the top of Southampton, this car overtook us on the outside, and I said to my wife, "How can that car have overtaken us there? We've passed it going the other way." And it was the same colour car, exactly the same style, with a bloke with glasses and a woman sitting in the passenger seat driving. You know, and I don't know how that car got to there, because there's no way it can get from the M3, or what is the M27, onto that road and into Southampton, because we're on the same road. I don't know how it got past us and then suddenly done a double take and come up and overtook us. Don't know how it got there.
I've read most of Gay Baldwin's books, and some of the stories that you know are mentioned in there. I mean, there was one where a guy was coming out of gone for a ride with his wife in the car, and he was coming out of Yarmouth, and this guy was telling his story about sort of he was coming out of Yarmouth, and there was a pub. I don't know what it's called now, but apparently they went in this pub, I know it's a really bizarre, sounds really bizarre, but went in this pub, ordered a drink or whatever it was, mentioned it to some friends, and they said, "Well, that pub hasn't been there for sort of like 30 years.
Crikey.
And that was, you know, that was definitely a story that sticks in my mind from Gay Baldwin's book.
Blimey. I know we're a real, on the island, we have loads of, there's loads of ghost stories, loads of ghost walks as well. It's a pretty haunted place. And well, she's done many a book, hasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. And what, one of the weirdest places, last time I was on the island, was I went to Knighton Manor as well. Knighton Gorge, around there.
Right.
That is a strange place in itself, to be fair.
So's my front room, by all accounts now. Arthur's been in it and said, yeah, there's something going on here.
So, it's... Yeah, you're right, Ian. The island it's got quite a history, hasn't it, really?
I think we should get Gail Baldwin in, shouldn't we? She's still alive?
Yeah, well, but I think she still writes books, doesn't she?
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to get in touch with her and see if she'll come in. Okay.
There was one story I read about. There was a lady walking a dog on Brading Down. And... just walking the dog and suddenly heard a load of sort of like military sort of like footsteps, and as she said, as plain as day, in the woods or wherever it was on Brading Down, she said just saw a troop of Roman soldiers walking through. Now, you know, but I mean, if you actually read the books and stuff like that, they're saying that the sort of like the island itself, the way it's positioned and all that, there's quite a few, they call them ley lines or something like that.
Oh, right.
They're off to the Roman villa.
Yeah, but apparently the sort of like the ley lines on the island, I'm pretty sure that Gay says it in the books, that there's quite a sort of, the ley lines sort of cross on the island. And it's one of the few places where the ley lines, I don't know what they are, sort of spiritual things, but...
Lines of energy.
Cross on the island. Yeah. Which is it's quite interesting, and it would be quite interesting to get her in, as you say.
I reckon that's what we're going to do. We're going to get her in the next couple of weeks. I'll see if she can come in 2 weeks' time. That'd be really, really good. That'd be excellent, wouldn't it? Hey, Dave Babes, it's really, really good to talk to you.
And no, it's a pleasure.
And thank you for putting the wind up us.
Okay. All right, Dave. Thanks. A good day.
And you, Dave. Thanks for your call.
Cheers. Cheers. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We may have solved your problem with your overnight someone sneaking in and sticking a needle in you.
Go on.
David Randini's been in touch.
Oh. He had a little hand in it, did he?
Well, this might scare people. This might turn out to be even worse. I mean, what is worse? What could be possibly worse than what do we think's happened? Someone has decided to take some blood from you overnight and you haven't known about it.
Yeah.
Or it sounds like Arthur was bitten by a spider.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would have thought if I was bitten by a spider, there'd be two puncture marks.
Not if he'd lost a tooth.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Well, you know... It's an answer. It's an unknown. I mean, you know, Shirley saw it. I took a picture of it because I was so unsure about the whole situation. But Shirley seen it. It did look like I'd had a blood test. Only I know for a fact that I hadn't. And the fact that I was dreaming about someone trying to give me a blood test that night makes it sort of a little bit more, I don't know, bit more weird to me. If I'd have woken up with a puncture mark in my arm, I'd have thought I'd been bitten by something. But dreaming about being given a blood test and the location of it as well, specifically in my left arm, not my right.
Maybe the spider bit you first, and then which I brought the dream on.
Well, you know, it's possible.
Have you had any like spider-like symptoms since then? You know, like,
well, any legs or anything?
Well, I do have a tendency to want to build a web once in a while. And I'm quite partial to a fly.
There you are, you see. Problem solved. Hey, let's just call us the Ghostbusters. It's 12:42. We'll take a quick break and we will come back with more.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
My name's Tony Bray. Several years ago, I read Maggie Curry's book, What You Believe Creates Your Reality. It was a turning point for me, and since then, I've achieved things I thought I would never be able to achieve. I've lost several stone in weight. I've managed to swim across the Solent twice. I've raised £16,000 for motor neuron disease. I've become the chairman of the association on the Isle of Wight, and all this started by just reading Maggie's book. I recommend you do so, and I recommend you speak to Maggie, because she will make a positive difference to your life. I totally guarantee it.
Contact me today on 01983 754 666 or email hello@maggiecurry.co.uk and let's start your life transformation.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
White Office Equipment. We pride ourselves with being able to offer genuine inks from the major manufacturers at very competitive prices. If you can find the same ink anywhere on the island cheaper, then we want to know. As well as original ink, we also offer a range of competitive inks. We're at the High Street in Sandown, opposite Sainsbury's. Come and see us or call 400-045. That's 400-045. She's got
the look. As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Breakbuzz presents
the local music show.
3 hours of local music
from 7 till 10 p.m.
every Sunday.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Go to www.whitefibre.com.
We're back.
You're having such fun over there, Ian, aren't you?
I am. I'm loving this.
Sounds like my stomach. That does.
We're doing a spooky phone-in, a scary story, paranoia. Is it paranoia? Paranormal. Paranoia, I think, that'll kick in at the end of all of this. Because I'm now thinking there might be loads of spiders out there, and they say you eat one every night. And some of them have been trying to take blood out of Arthur. Maybe. Who knows? That's the scary thing. So, spooky, scary stories or premonitions or coincidences? What about you, Princess Prickles?
Mine's kind of more of a coincidence and more of a maybe there's something we don't know about. I had not a very good relationship with my mum, and my mum died New Year's Eve 2000.
Right.
And I had been working the night, came home, and both my girls at the time were asleep, and I went in to see them, good morning, pulled the blind up, sort of said mum was home, and there was a pigeon sat on their bedroom windowsill. Now, I'd opened both the windows. No, see, I know you're laughing now. I opened both the windows and tried to shoo this pigeon off. Pigeon had never landed on that windowsill before. And Stan came upstairs and I went, oh. And I was quite upset about hearing that my mum had died. And I said, do you think it's my mum? And he said, it's not fat enough to be your mum. Typical man. Do you know that pigeon sat there for a day and a half? I could not get that pigeon off the windowsill. And I swear, because I hadn't seen my mum for 8 years and my mum hadn't seen my children, that was something of my mum looking at my kids before she disappeared wherever she went.
Did the pigeon crap while it was there?
See, I know you're going to make jokes about it, but actually, I think because I was quite emotional and quite susceptible to thinking that may have been my mum.
Well,
Oh,
well,
yes.
I mean, you know, who's to say you're wrong?
Absolutely. Yeah. Who's to
I've
say?
I've lived in that house 24 years. I have never, ever, there's never been a pigeon before or after. Wow. Just New Year's Day 2000.
Someone's trying to come through to us.
They are.
Are they on the other side?
On the bat phone.
Hello, who's there?
It's Jackie from East Carl.
Oh, blimey, that was frightening.
We're all scared now.
My eldest daughter's quite susceptible to extra sort of strange things. She's often experienced phenomena. But I think when we lived in Sandown, we had a guest house. My husband, who is not at all into that sort of thing, swear blind that he actually called out to me because he thought I was upstairs and he saw me go into a bedroom and I was somewhere else in the house with the Hoover. And it was an old Victorian house. And one of the guests' children at one point, we didn't know till afterwards, said that they woke in the night and saw a little girl standing at the end of the bed dressed in like a pinafore dress. A pinafore over a blue dress with like an Alice in Wonderland look. And at that time my daughter was staying with us and she was in an area at the back of the house in her little bedsit. And she also woke up in the night and said she'd seen this little girl standing by her bed with long hair and this blue dress with a white pinafore over. And she said she was like Alice and she called her Alice. A bit like an Alice in Wonderland, little Victorian girl. So, you know, strange. You just say you can't explain these things, can you?
I've heard of similar things before to that, where a friend of mine, his sister, used to wear her grandma's nightie. And no matter what their parents did, she would refuse to not wear this nightie. And they often would go into the bedroom and hear her talking, and she would say she was talking to her grandma. Well, even as an adult now, she still insists that she used to talk to her grandma, but the grandma was dead.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, was it in their child's imagination? Was it somebody's imagination?
Who knows? Seen this little Alice figure, yeah. And my husband has seen what appeared, more than one occasion, what appeared to be a figure in a long cloak. Now, the name of the house was Wesley House, and I think it was something that had been attached to the church at one point, so it could have been some kind of, you know, priest of old times. Yeah. He's seen it separately. And the other funny thing that happened here, where we are here, in a relatively new house, I iron upstairs on the landing because it seems a sensible thing to do because the clothes are ready to go into the, you know, the bedrooms upstairs. And I was up there ironing, no windows open, no draft, and I suddenly, in the middle of my ironing, I came back to the ironing board and looked at, and right in front of the ironing board was a white feather on the carpet. And I thought, well, where had that come from? It was the middle of the house, and I always rather hoped that it was an angel, because I like that Gloria Hunniford is convinced every time she sees a white feather it's her guardian angel or her daughter, doesn't she? And I cannot explain how that feather, I know it sounds silly, I actually had kept it. It's in my purse because I thought, maybe, is that my mum? You know, you kind of clutch at things, don't you?
Well, they reckon that if ever you hear a bell ring.
And when times get difficult, we often find there's a feather landed somewhere or you see one fluttering down, and we always kind of think, maybe someone's looking after us. Except my son completely blew that theory when he came across the remains of a dead pigeon on the lawn with masses of feathers, and he said, good God, Mother, he said, that angel must have alopecia by now.
That's funny.
Completely threw me. Trust him to spoil it all. He reckons there's an angel up there that's bald.
Thanks for your call, Jackie.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a fascinating phone in. It'll be interesting to get Gay Baldwin in.
I will. We're gonna make contact with her.
Yeah,
at
absolutely.
Some point in the next couple of hours. Yeah, brilliant.
You won't need to. She'll know.
Wouldn't it be spooky if she phoned right now? Thanks.
You later.
Thanks for your call, Jackie. Bye. It's 8 minutes to one. And do we have any more spooky stories in us?
Al, where did you want?
Tell them the one about the post box.
My post box.
Your post box.
Tell
us. We got in the back bedroom of my house was a little wooden French post box. You've always got to call French post boxes post boxes.
Yeah,
you can't call them letter boxes.
Just like we can't call prickles by shorten her nickname.
No. it's got
Princess.
Yeah. It's got what's called a deadlock on it, you see. Right? And so there's a bit of corpsing going on here at the moment. It's got what's called a deadlock on it. So that means it can't be locked if the key's not in it. You've got to put the key in it to lock it. You can't slam it. And we'd had the kids coming over to stay, and after they'd gone, I noticed the key was missing out of it. So I said to my wife, "The damn kids have been playing with my postbox," and she said, "They wouldn't do that." So I went over to it, pulled the door, and it was open, unlocked. So I said, "All right, at least I can still get a key made for it." And we was going out, so I picked up my coat, and the bed had been stripped because my wife had washed the bed. And it had a white and blue checker pattern on it. So we went out. I came home. I had something to eat. My wife went to the loo. I took my coat off, went and chucked it on the bed. As I went to chuck it on the bed, the key to the postbox is sitting in the middle of one of these white checker panels on the bed. So I stopped at the doorway and I called my wife, and she said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Come and see this." And she said, "What on earth?" I said, "Look, there's the key. It sat in the middle of the bed there." She said, "But it must have fallen out of your coat." I said, "Well, now, what are we doing in my coat? You know, you're messing me about." She said, "I'm not messing you about at all." So I said, "Oh, well, no harm done." Picked up the key, put it in the postbox, and it was locked.
I'm not going to Arthur's house.
Or my front room.
No.
She's seen a bloke standing at the end of the bed, my wife has, where it looks like a bit like a tall version of Arthur Daly with a bit of trilby hat on, wearing a camel coat, you know?
She's just hoping.
I mean, the simple fact is that any piece of land, if a lot of people have died or whatever, or lived there for a long time, there could be 70, 80, 100 years worth of emotions on that piece of land or that property or that room. It can't just disappear, can it?
But do you know what? I often sit there in our old house, especially in our old front room, which you think there's something going on in there.
The back room.
No,
the
back room. Yeah.
And I do think, well, how old is this house? It's quite old. And on the way to work today, I found this house opposite the Coleman's. It was a carpet place. And there's a house that was built in 17 something, and it's got a thing in the wall saying 17 something. So you're thinking, crikey, hundreds of years old. So that means that there must have been quite a few people that have died in there.
Quite a lot of distress.
Yeah.
People worried about the war and things like that.
Do you know what? I know we go back in time, we find out about our families, but wouldn't it be great if you could go back in time and find out who lived in your house and what happened to them? How long did they live there and so on?
I've only had one person lived in my house before we moved in.
Right.
So there's no spooky history in my house.
We both live in old, really old houses. I would imagine they're 1800s.
Yeah, they're over 100 years old, yeah. An old lady did die in our house when my parents lived next door. Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
Crikey.
Yeah.
So it's suddenly gone very, very cold and shivery.
But even new houses, they're built on old ground.
Yes, that's true.
Who's to say? In some parts of the country, they've bulldozed cemeteries and put the slabs all around the edge. Church Lytton, for example.
Yeah, that was a cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah, they've put, yeah. So there's a lot of memories there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you was to sort of be that way inclined, would you actually think that when you die, all your 80, 70, 60, 30 years of experiences are completely finished? Or is there something else that passes on?
I don't know. I honestly think there's something, but I just don't know what it is.
It's not a ghost, is it? That's a terminology, isn't it?
Yes.
I thought I've just seen a ghost, but it's just Shirley's husband has just walked in.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, he gets very scared about things like this.
He looks scared.
he looks scared. He's got to take Shirley home.
Why is he just holding a lead?
Has he not got the dog there?
No, there's no dog there.
No dog.
It's just a lead.
A spectre dog, eh?
Hey, look, shall we leave it there? I know you had a poem to read out, but it's nothing at all to do with. Can we come back on Monday and do that?
It is to do with this, but I don't think we've got time to read it.
We have, I can see it. We've got about 2 minutes.
I don't think we can, to do it justice.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we can overrun.
Well, it's things,
I'm the
that,
boss.
Things that go boss in the night. Things that go bump in the night.
Go
but it is quite a long poem.
Would you, do you want to read it or do you want to get Arthur to read it?
I don't mind. I get Arthur to read it then. Come on then, Arthur. Put your specs on.
Put your specs on. That is scary.
Because...
you got me.
Arthur wrote this poem.
Right. Here's one I made earlier. Things that go bump in the night. Are you sitting comfortably, children?
Not now. You scared me just then.
Oh, good. Now it's time for bed. Time for a sleep. Rest my weary old head. Time to dream and to relax my brain. Time to wind down from the hard daily strain. The moon is bright, so full and so new. It casts weird shadows like an unearthly hue. A barn owl takes flight without even a sound to search for its prey on the now darkened ground. I nod off and then crash. What on earth was that? Was it a mouse or worse still, a rat? I jump from my bed and race down the stair. No sign of a burglar, but on end stands my hair. There is something here, but where? Is it real? I look high and low, but not a sign, not a feel. I go back to bed, but I have a real dread. I pull up the covers right over my head. I finally sleep, it's 2:15. I have to calm down, so much to do. I drift into sleep and dream of odd things, and then I awake again. The telephone rings. I sit bolt upright. The phone is downstairs. Down in the dark, again rise my hairs. My neck is so tight and bristling with fear. What is happening? What has come near? Is it the heating? Those pipes always knock. But no, it cannot be. They are off on the clock. But I hear a ring sound, and then a loud thud. I'm up out of bed and I'm baying for blood. On go the lights, I race down the stair. Nothing's disturbed, not even the chair. What is going on? What is happening at home? I try to lay down, and then a low groan. My head is now spinning. I dive back in bed, pull up the sheets and cover my head. Something then drops onto the sheet. I sit bolt upright. I have really cold feet. Was it a spider or a creepy old bug? Where is my mum? I need a big hug. This cannot be happening all over again. Peer through the window, pouring with rain. Am I alone, or is there another? Is it a ghost, an older sister, or brother? Do I dare look just up one more time, up there? I start with trepidation at the top of the stair. I then feel a presence, something rushes past. I turn round and stare, my face is aghast. I cannot see anything, it's now far too dark. The moon's hidden its face behind a cloud for a lark. It leaves me petrified, I am now alone. I have to be strong, I have to atone. I must go downstairs and find what is wrong. It must be quite rational. I mumble a song. I start to sing louder and get to the door. I open it quickly and then a loud snore. I wake with a start. There's a bug on my bed. A spider is crawling across my bald head. I jump up and scream. My life rushes by. What on earth is going on? I ask myself why. I am not alone. There is something here. I heard it. I felt it. And now I dread fear. I stifle a grimace. Is it me? Am I mad? No such things as ghosts. Nothing that bad. I then turn round. The door closes with a groan. It then locks itself. And I am alone. Look at my arms. Look.
I'm glad it's light outside.
Yeah, it'd be scared to go
unless,
home.
Of course, you're listening to the repeat. It'll be gone 10 o'clock and you'll be in darkness. Sleep well. Dame Shirley, thank you.
Thank you.
From the other side, Princess Prickles, thank you.
Thanks, I'm really scared.
Thanks for coming in and scaring us, Uncle Arthur.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.